Right, this is going to be the best damn league show here on Last Three Nation. I'm joined by Kira as my co-host. Obviously, he did an episode in the last split since we're doing the whole rotating host aspect, which actually, by the way, I've made this point before. But the reason I did that, look, as a cynical aspect, I will say it's because there's obviously no other person like Dom. Like, if there was someone who had an enormous profile like that and they would bring loads of, I would consider doing it. But as well as there not being someone like that, I mean, by the way, people like Dom and Ellis are pretty light on the ground, as you can imagine. They don't have much time free. But also, I just got the sense, I think I've been proven right, that this is just a better approach, because the real issue, as you already saw in past episodes, is the reason why we often would go into a lot of the drama on the Dom episodes is because if, like, this one team has played three BO1s since last week and they're a bad team, like Giant X, like, how much are we really going to be able to get out of that? You know what I mean? So, okay, Kira is here for the first time for this spring split. Obviously, it was the winter split we did before. And now we've had the first week play. When I brought in Nymeira, that was obviously mainly to do sort of like preview the split, think who's going to go where, etc. If people didn't see, I don't care because I'm a gangster. I even did one of those tier lists on Twitter, guys. But I'm not like you little pussios. This is how you know I've changed, Kira. I can't lie. One second before I said pussio, my brain told my eyes to really quickly look down at OBS. I saw it was over a minute, and it's only in the first minute you get fucked by all censorship if you swear. And then my brain told me, you're allowed to say pussio. And then I went, pussio. And then I like sort of smiled more, like I could lean in. That's pathetic, actually. I've changed. I'd have said that straight out of the gate before. What am I even doing? Censoring myself. But anyway, the point is, basically, on my tier list, I didn't do what every LEC caster does, mate, where you go S tier, A tier, and B, and then magically, like, nine of the teams are in three of the tiers. And so basically, you haven't at all tier listed it. You've just sort of told me, these are good teams and these are bad. I did the real one, mate, where you just do the actual placings in the playoffs. You say who's going to come first, second, third, fourth, fifth to sixth, seventh, eighth, and then you do like that. I did the one where you actually have to put your balls on the table. So let's get into it, because obviously one thing I think is going to be amazing about this split I was talking about with Monty on Somebody Insight is, and as long as you aren't G2 or at the other end of the equation, Rogue, mate, the joke is, even Giant X showed this, there's going to be so much parity in these BO1s, mate. Like, I think these BO1s are going to be like those old school super weeks where it's like no one ever really used to go 4-0. Even the best team in the league loses a game or two. It feels like that right now, mate. Like, I've got to say, I don't know if it's the addition of Smolder that obviously tore the LEC up. There's a whole bunch of things. I don't know if it's the rosters, but mate, it feels like if you go from like teams 2 to 7 or 8, like I say, it feels like you can almost like fucking rolling a dice. It feels like everyone could beat everyone in this game, mate.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from how distinct and unique a lot of the strengths are for like teams in LEC. One of the things I said I actually really liked about the LEC is there was like the top six teams, or like of the good teams that went into playoffs last year, they didn't play anything like each other. Like, yes. Mad Lions, G2, Fnatic, FK all played completely different.
Heretics, you know what I mean?
They were very, very like unique like play styles. So there was something to be like drawn out from that, and it makes for much better like watching in terms of match to match and like heads to heads. So that was really, really nice. The other one is obviously with the invitation, like an uplift of like a lot of rookies like this year, you're getting to see like people really like flex like new champion pools and unique aspects of like their gameplay, like, you know, the Merwins, stuff like that. So it has been like really, really, really interesting. Even though I think overall the level in Europe maybe like dropped down like a bit, it was never actually great outside G2. It's actually a more enjoyable region to watch this year, which is kind of like a contradiction in and of itself. But it's been really, really sick to see. One of the big things, I just kind of want to see the teams kind of trying to actively fix like a lot of their like issues. That's the only thing. It seems like some of the teams are in a bit of like free fall in terms of identity style, in terms of their identity and style, which is mainly just like the bad teams. But it's kind of confusing that like they have identity problems if you look at the team. I'm mainly talking about like GX and Rogue here. So outside of that though, it's a pretty good start to the LEC. And outside of Smolder just being an abomination of champion design, it was actually a really, really good first week. And you got to see a lot of the really good things about teams and a lot of the really bad things about teams.
Right, I think a fun one to start with, just because they ended up being the team inadvertently that dominated the off-season drama. It wasn't even Carmine Corp, because obviously they kicked people so long ago now. We had the whole playoffs. It's obviously Heretics. Like, they did this massive move. By the way, it is massive. You did replace Burks with a guy from the RL. But first things first, do you actually know, how do you pronounce the guy's name? Do you say it's Viru? Do you say it's Wiru? What do you say?
I don't even attempt to even pronounce his name properly. Bro, like, I don't even say, like, the LPL name. I just make up LPL pronunciations for people in Korean for, like, the past 10 years. So I don't even...
So there's obviously him replacing Perks, and then the other move, which now almost got masked, is obviously Kaiser was replaced by Trimby. So on the first week, they did go 2-1, and they did beat Fnatic, so it's pretty big. They lost to Vitality. What did you think of the new Heretics?
So, first of all, like, I thought the team was, like, overall, like, pretty improved. I think the biggest, like, change for me is actually, like, Trimby for Kaiser, considering, like, what Trimby can supply to a team in terms of, like, even a bad team, what Trimby can, like, bring. I pointed this out, like, just take, like, a cold case example. Just watch, like, a game of, like, Zolas on Rogue and Trimby on Heretic, and look how much more, like, Trimby moves around the map and how much more active he is on the map. It's... Not, and even you can even count the number of, like, plays that he's, like, making. He just knows and doesn't seem to have to be, like, guided. Another thing is like, it looked to be he's even better paired with Jankos than Kaiser was. And this is something that helped Humanoid out last split, is Trimby is someone that loves to come into midsection and play the game. Now, I thought this could have been something that helped Perks, but they ended up not going with Perks, they ended up going with Zyru. So, you know, it's really good for a rookie mid. You know what I mean? When you're down in certain specific matchups, your support wants to come to your lane. You don't have to try and, like, create, like, you know what I mean, invite them here, like, tell them, oh, come here because I'm losing. It's something that Trimby's, like, already got an affinity towards doing. He's also, like, paired up with probably one of the, of last year, like, the most stable player. And I think it's better... that, like, you know, Flat's actually gotten basically, like, an upgrade, and the bot side of Heretics looks to be, like, not so much more serious, but they'll be able to, like, execute better about on their winning positions. Because even though I do agree Kaiser was a lot more improved from split to split, I did actually think his previous performance from last year warranted his removal. And then if you're going to get offered Trimby, you snatch the hand that offers you that. Like, that is, like, a candidate for, you know, Fnatic didn't want him for... variety of, like, reasons. If Fnatic doesn't want him, any team in the team apart from Mickey X team should take him. He's the positives that he, like, supplies in game are just absolutely unbelievable. So I was actually impressed. The one thing I would say, though, is the Fnatic game that they won, that might be the worst carry performance from Fnatic's carries I've seen in a long time. Humanoid and Noah decided that they both didn't want to win the game, and as such, if your carries decide that, you're just going to lose in embarrassing fashion. So I think they're playing a lot better. I think Jankos looks like he's playing a lot better as well. The team looks a lot more, like, coordinated. So I don't know if it's just because you've got maybe Perks not talking as much and a more singular vision on how to play the game. But I was actually kind of really impressed, and I'm kind of happy for them, because if another team that can, like, push people in different ways, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, actually, that's the way I was going to attack this myself, is on, like, the context of the players coming in. Because in the off-season, you had this whole thing where this just shows you how weird fan opinions are, dude. Because even though, like, for example, when Perks gets removed, the fan opinion isn't, yeah, well, he's playing bad in this split. The fan opinion is, yeah, well, he's been terrible for years, hasn't he? So he should be removed. But then by the same logic, the same fans who were telling you last year, like, Kaiser has no hands and basically doesn't know how to play League of Legends, now they're like, yeah, but in these first few weeks he was good though. It's like, well, that's the same logic though. Like, what? Like, bro, if someone gets ticket coursed on their legacy, it's Perks, not Kaiser. What are we even talking about with that? One of them's, like, the GOAT. The other one was just a good player who won some championships. And so I'll put that aside, because my problem with the Kaiser move went like this. I don't think people argued it in good faith, mate. As far as I can tell, the main argument went like this. He's better than he was before, because obviously he was terrible last year and he did look pretty good this split. Like, the problem with that is that's not an argument against getting Trimby. Like, Think about this, guys. By that logic, I shouldn't get Carrier because Kaiser's better than Kaiser was before. Well, yeah, but is Carrier available? If Carrier's available, I don't care how good Kaiser was. That's irrelevant. It's not even, that's a non sequitur. And then the other angle goes like this. Obviously, the question still becomes, even so, if Kaiser is better, will I gain more by recruiting Trimby? Now, what's weird is, dude, I didn't see any arguments against that. Every argument even seemed to acknowledge that, yeah, maybe Trimby will bring more intangibles and shot calling and maybe he has a bigger jump ball. So then why are we arguing at the end? Like, as far as I can tell, let's be real, the argument went like this. Because at the time Perks hadn't been benched, people looked at the roster and they thought this. Well, wait a minute, in this team, Perks has been bad, Jankos has been underwhelming, Wunder wasn't a carry, and actually Kaiser played better than he did before. Therefore, basically, your main argument is just Kaiser wasn't the biggest problem. Now, I'm fine with that, but I will just say this, because it feels like an obvious fucking point. Yes, when you have Perks on your team and you remove Kaiser, maybe that on some level is unfair. But if you end up also removing Perks, now suddenly the Trimby signing looks genius, because now you do get all the intangibles, which you now really need, because Perks was supposed to bring those, but apparently didn't. So I also think that whole thing just got lost in the, because essentially, like, without going into it, if people know Counter-Strike, the same thing happened in Counter-Strike. When the Astralis super team just failed, everyone got mad at the notion you might kick the new guy stare, but they ignored things like, yeah, but the point is, it's not that he played bad, he was actually one of the better players. It's that the other players are supposed to be superstars and they all cost millions of dollars. Like, the point is, they're not equal players again. Like, we're not kicking people. I'm sorry, I know every fan wants to believe this is true, but if I sign someone for millions of dollars, like Piglet, I'm going to let him be a bit more of a prick. I'm going to give him more chances. I'm going to try and find a new way to make next lineup work because I spent millions of dollars. And even though it's called a sunk cost fallacy, it's also just, by the way, wanting to have satisfaction in your roster moves. You don't want to make a roster move, spend loads of money, and then not even try the guy, then have to fire him, and then you get fired as well. Like, you want to at least like ride out with your choices, and then come what may, you take it on the chin. So with all that said, that is all to say this. Bro, this is where plebs will never stop being plebs. Because I do think the take, I don't know if it's Perks haters or people who don't watch the game. I do think the take is, it's just this Viru guy who played way better. By the way, guys, this fucking first week, I don't have complaints, but he was just a passenger, bruh. He just chilled. Essentially, his job was just be not Perks. And because he just didn't die, he didn't do any insane plays, mate. I watched the games. If anything, I would say what they missed is, the real angle is, like, you nailed it earlier. First of all, Jankos looks way better without Perks. And Jankos and Trimby, remember, they're both Polish as well, guys. They look fucking awesome. I even think, if you think through their history, they're even going to have a mega synergy together, because Jankos famously, when people say he's a shot caller, he's more like the background shot caller. Like, he talks about what he's going to do and what his next move is. The reason why him and Perks was the dream is because Perks is the primary shot caller. If anything, I think him and Trimby will end up having a good relationship. And then also, I'll throw this other one out there as well. Back in the day when Jankos used to win MVP of the LEC, remember back in season 9, season 10, right? At that time, one of the reasons I agreed Jankos should be the MVP is because back in the day, even though we had players like Hillersong who were insane, the logic went, yeah, but the jungler has to unlock the bot lane to allow the support to roam to then do all the shit mid. Well, here's the thing. Trimby is in his fucking dream world now, mate, because he isn't playing with some like comp type guy or Hansama. They're guys who want to win the lane, guys. They want to play 2v2 League of Legends Uzi Eye style and just get ahead and be like three levels up and a bunch of CS up and then roam. This guy, if you leave him with Flakhead, this is also a dream. This guy can roam all day long. He already had an insane champion pool anyway. By the way, I'll just remind people of this. Wasn't Targamas in his interesting champion pool kind of cool when it was with Flakhead? Remember, all of a sudden those picks were dope, weren't they? And if, by the way, part of that is down to Flakhead. Flakhead can play the other side of those weird matchups. So I actually think, by the way, it's why on the last episode, even though we hadn't seen them play yet, I actually had Rex as one of my better teams. I think I put them as my fourth team for the split or something. I think they're going to be a lot better. Like, I actually think you've seen now, it's not that like the Zero guy is what Perks should be. It's just not Perks, and that's actually all they need right now. It just looks good, this team, because look, I'm not going to make out that they're a top team. If this team went to Worlds, mate, they wouldn't do anything. But I'll tell you what, with how weak LEC is, like we're talking about, this team can win a lot of games, I think. This team really can be up. They're going to be like a playoff threat for me. I think they're interesting.
And they still have that veteran aspect, less so in mid. Sure. I talked about in winter, where they'll catch throws. As in, like, when people like slip up, they'll see like the opportunities and within them. When people have got bad setups, they'll catch them. And this is another one, a bit similar to Ignar of old, not Ignar now, and Huhi, if you watch his gameplay in NA when he's good. Trimby's, he's got a massive champion pool, but as of recently, he's been like an engaged like specialist. And when you're a worse team, having like someone who's very comfortable with a go button, who doesn't really care if he dives like 9 consecutive times, to attempt to like get you angles into the game and will make like consecutive engages and engage and look for consecutive engage angles is a really, really, really good thing to have, because it means that you're someone who's confident, and like someone like Zyru, you know what I mean, he leads up, he's secondary engage to someone else, he's playing to someone else's fiddle. So that's like a really, really big thing for the team. One of the ones you've got to look at, though, is I usually don't like go that crazy and into like, you should have just banned X. But as if, and I know it was just the first game, but I don't think any team should be given Smolder basically like at all. And you should also not be given Smolder to like teams that you think you're better than, in terms of like, if any pick is going to fuck you up and just make you randomly lose to a team who is much worse than you, it's Smolder, because just the way the champion works with execute, the way the like the game stalls out, the way he like scales in such a unique way, he allows you to like free wave clear and hold midsection. It's just a very, very silly champion design, basically. It's way, way too overtuned. And they lost to, like, Karzai Smolder, which there's, like, no shame in. Like, Karzai's a good player. It's a ridiculous pick. But even within that game, one of the concerns I had was, as the game was, like, slipping away from them, they couldn't really find a plan B. And this was something Nymeria was talking to me. And what they couldn't really adapt, like, on the fly to, like, find something. Now, it was the first game of the season. It has been 1 week so far, so I don't want to over-exaggerate it. And plus, like, the champ's ridiculous. But that was about the only thing I could say about them so much. It's like, when plan A doesn't work, they don't look like they're finding, like, plan B, C. Like, when they lost that, like, team fight to Fnatic in the base, they basically just set up the exact same team fight again and prayed to God that Noah forgot he had a flash. So that would be kind of my assessment of Heretics right now.
Oh, yeah, two other things quickly to throw there. One is, I'll just say this. It was, because this was made public. If you go out there, look, I'm sure the records have been deleted, but it was there. People saw and they know the drama. We actually know, there's evidence that Peter Don himself didn't want Kaiser kicked, by the way, which is mad that you ever get that, because there was a weird leaked DM, by the way, where some fan DM'd him, and basically the fan themselves, because they're scumbags, just leaked what he said in the DM, which he basically just said, like, he was traveling and he wasn't aware they were bringing Trimbian. So that's interesting in itself, but I'll just put that out there as food for thought for later if we talk in future splits about the coaching staff and whether they chose the players, because people are going to say that, you know, they have all the power, it's Peter Don, he picks the whole team. Well, that's interesting that he didn't pick that player. But the other thing to say is this, which goes like this. The other reason I also thought this first week really did make me like quite pleased with my prediction that there'll be a way better squad is because, mate, that Fnatic game also is one of the reasons I have never been out on Wunder, because Wunder is just built different, mate. You know how many fucking top laners, when the game starts like that, would just mentally fold or chain feed and ruin the game? This guy doesn't care, mate. Like, he just has an amazing ability to just keep playing the game. It's why I said and put him in that category with Perks and Jankos, of like, people I think just understand like how to win games of League of Legends. Like, they can really do that shit that you should actually do in solo queue if you're not a pleb. Of, you don't go, oh, these mistakes, this game's lost. You go, is there a way to win still? You try and identify like the scenario, like, is it, what can I do? Or is like, for example, you even think things like, can someone else carry me? This guy's the best at that, mate. He knows when to be useful, when not to be, when I've gone too much. In fact, he even does almost what I think cynically you should do in teams. It's just hard not to say it to a teammate without crushing the morale. I always used to say when I would play the game, K-Ray, if you're playing solo queue and the top laner, you know, maybe it's like a Renekton or something like that, whatever, it's someone who thinks they're the shit, you're allowed to die a bunch of times. Top lane, I get it, mate. You're always going to get ganked. It's easy to get ganked to that lane. You might just get outplayed. You might go for a calculate. But here's the thing. Once you go 0-5, all I would type ever is I'd go, okay, no problem. You just don't get to play top lane anymore. Tank items only, please. I would just type that and I would hit send. Because my rule at that point is like, look, you've had your fun, mate. You've tried it out to see if you can be the dude and carry. But now that you didn't carry, there's no point turning the 0-5 into a 0-15 and we can't win the game. You may as well try and be useful and give us a chance, like give us in the bottle, let us carry the game, basically. So like, Wunder gets that, mate. He's actually probably one of the best players I've ever seen at knowing when to be carried. And I thought he did a great job in this game. And in general, this is also why you can't just judge players in isolation. Like we said about Jankos, mate, he looks very different with the Zimu guy and Perks. Like, that makes me think Perks had influence over him, or they had an idea about how they wanted to play that they don't now. So yeah, I brought this up at the beginning because I actually think it's quite a wide open tier. I don't think there are strong conclusions. I'm just interested in the turnaround. Let's flip over though, and let's talk. What we'll do is we'll go between the two. Right, let's just get out the way now. How the fuck, for real, K-Ray, how is it possible that Rogue is this bad? Because you know what I mean? Like, this is one of the teams where I do just keep looking at the roster, like, Fuck, shouldn't they even eventually trip over and win a game? Like, it's not even a terrible roster, but like the actual like synergies are just non-existent, mate. Like, this actually might be the worst team. That's the craziest thing, isn't it? Might actually be the worst team in LEC, even though there's Larson on it, which is inexplicable.
Well, there's a couple of like factors. First of all, like solo carrying from like mid right now, basically like impossible. And also like playing out like mid 2v2 like win conditions, not so much impossible, but you're not going to do it that often either. And if you are going to do it, you have to have a matchup in which it's enabled in. Also, doesn't help for Rogue that Azir's banned. So you know, like just a little bit of context there.
Sure,
but. Yeah, it wasn't like there was like millions of like carry Azir games, but it does affect the results somewhat. For I am very like kind of somewhat soft on rookies, but there's a lot of veterans here on this team. Finn, Larson, Comp, somewhat on Markun, right? But there are some shockers from like Zolas. Like, and just in terms of like cleaning up the map and doing basic League of Legends stuff, there's like a whole game, I brought this up on EuroLeague, there's a whole game section where he goes topside and doesn't actually cross river for 8 minutes and doesn't clear wards on the other side of the map. Now, in the modern conception of League of Legends, you go all the way back to like season like 6 and 5, and that would have been like a crazy concept then. And we're now in like 2024. If that's happening, like game, you're never going to win games. Yeah, even if he did clear those wards, they were against Fnatic, I believe, so they probably were going to lose the game anyway. But it just makes it so much harder to play out the game. Finn has never, ever been basically, like, a great carry player in his entire life. And as such, like, you're basically playing, like, some sort of, like, mid-to-bot team. But your bot lane isn't, like, one of the best bot lanes in EU anymore. And your bot lane with jungler just don't understand. Like, they have basically turned Markun into a maligned version of, like, Malrang. But I don't understand how that happens. Because, for example, one of the things when Markun was an SK, he used to, like, skip camps to accelerate, like, irrelevant. To do, like, you skip a camp, get bot quicker, and you play for, like, his lanes. Like, Markun really liked playing for lanes. He liked doing it on XL as well, right? But when he's, like, playing for, like, his lanes now, some of them aren't even in, like, winning positions. Or, like, his bot lane doesn't manage their way. And it's just... they look like they have... so I don't even want to say like no systems, but no like consideration of how when they go in with the champions that they've picked, how they're actually going to win the game. And so it's very, very directionalist. Like they win a team fight against Fnatic and it's basically Larson hits 4 people with 4 spells and he blows up like 3 people instantly. And like the League of Legends has moved so far beyond that that's not a win condition. And they still lost that game. Like, because eventually Fnatic just reset, set up the map better, and didn't let that mistake happen again. So I really don't know where this team can kind of go from here. You know, like, I know you're, like, a big fan of, like, the coaching staff on the team. I don't know, like, anything about them. And it could just be the same players as well, but it looks like someone needs to attempt to give this team, like, a direction in terms of how to win games from even, like... even just take like the first 10 minutes of the game where like most coaches report that they have the most influence on. That's what all coaches come in and say, like, I can control what my team does like for like the first 10 minutes, but after that it becomes a lot harder, right? The first 10 minutes of Rogue might be some like the worst first 10 minutes of like any LEC team, where it is literally make no plays, and then if they make any play, it's just like, wow, that was the worst possible play. Like, how did you ever think that that play was ever going to be good? So it's really, really worrying. Don't know where like they go. I think it was actually, unless you just kind of luck out and people like mature and take control of it, it would need to be personnel change. But I'm majorly concerned for them because I was really surprised a team could have these players on it and be this bad.
I mean, one of the things that I was worried about when I even saw this lineup announced, even before they swapped to Finn, is when I look at these players on paper. Right, I've heard from, I think Trimby said that like Larson's quite vocal about like asking for gangster mid and stuff. But aside from that, traditionally you don't have your mid lane to be the shot caller. Like, bro, unless Markun's some like secret, who the fuck's doing it in this team? Like, there's nothing, like, there's no universe. Like, the Zoli's guy isn't, he's brand new and he's French, guys. The fucking, Markun himself is not even that experienced. He's only been in the league a few years and quite frankly, on his other teams, I'm guessing Nuke Duck shot called or, you know, well, other Nuke fucking Duck players at that.
Nuke Duck told me when I spoke to him that him and Markun designed XL's early games with the coaching staff, right? So Markun did have a say in like designing early games with like Nuke Duck. So maybe it's the fact that like Markun doesn't have someone to bounce off of, and he like in those old teams he wasn't an executive making executive decisions. He was like proposing ideas to Nuke Duck, and then Nuke Duck was going yes or like no. And now he's now not got that. But obviously, I don't know the insides of Rogue, and that was just something Nuke Duck told me when I spoke to him when he was on XL. So I'm not even like that sure. And also, I think with Certus, when I spoke to Certus as well, actually, he said that like him and like Markun, basically, when they were like planning on, when they were playing against Rogue in the BO3s, they basically like designed like the comp about basically like preying on like Larson's like tendencies. And it was like him and Markun played the jungle 2v1 okay. because they knew Malrang was going to always play for bot lane. So like I've heard like he does plan stuff from two of his past mid laners, and that's why I just can't believe it's this bad. Like I'm just stunned at how shockingly terrible it is.
Because the thing I can't understand is this does just look like a team that, like, you could believe this team have no mics. You know what I mean? Like, bro, yes. The game they had against fucking BDS, where it's like, you have every possible advantage. Like, what are you waiting for? Like, if you're actually good, don't you just win the game now? But they just don't, they genuinely look like a solo queue team that doesn't know what they're doing. Like, it doesn't matter what lead you get, doesn't matter what champion you have, doesn't matter how much gold you have. Like, this is a fucking whack team. This is just a whack team. And the worst thing about it is, like, when you say that, here's the thing, I was never like a massive fan of Freddy122, the coach stuff. It's more like this. I just think it's insane that with the teams they had when they were always like first place in the regular split and winning like 13, 14 games. The joke is, mate, if any Fnatic team had ever had that roster of players, they'd be voted like coaching staff of the century, mate. What are you talking about? Like, they would, remember, Rogue would literally take, they were ever taking big name players from better teams. They were always taking worse players or players who've never been in LEC and then going to the very top of the LEC. So that tells me you're doing something. But I do think, by the way, that coaches in league, it's a bit like in football, mate. If even in fucking football, a game that's been around for hundreds of years, and they're putting insane tens of hundreds of millions of dollars in, and coaching staffs that have all these, if even they have teams where like the greatest managers ever just have the wrong lineup and they're not good, then in league there's no way there's, I don't care, guys, even when I tell you Dylan Falco's the best coach, well, spoiler, I've seen Dylan Falco be on lineups where it didn't work, or maybe the players, spoiler, maybe you'll find out some of them could gatekeep angles of his skill set, maybe they didn't help him in draft, or they wouldn't play something he wanted. So it doesn't, there's no like, there's no god coach. But I do think the sad thing in this particular case is, this is where I feel like the GM did fuck Rogue, mate. Because if you think of the two styles that worked for Rogue, it went like this. You had the era when they were quite inexperienced, and so quite frankly, I always thought, no one else seemed to pick up on this, I always thought they were the team that listened to LS's logic and was sort of like, right, well, if you're not actually quite as good, then if you can safely lane on these scaling picks, you eventually just win the game without doing anything. Literally, by the way, what LS has preached for years, but every ignorant person just goes, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's a Korean. Well, I guess in their case, they don't call him a fellatio enthusiast because that'd be a bit too on the nose, wouldn't it? So what I would say is they basically used to use that. And then the other one obviously was then when they had like just really good players, they used to just play for early game. They obviously had a priority in everything they could. And then they just hoped beyond that, like Malrang doing crazy moves like that. My logic was, the rest of the team was still that passive team, but Malrang was just such a maniac. They thought it like balanced out, which it sort of did, if you know what I mean. It didn't really, like, it's not, it wasn't a, like an objectively good plan, but it did in like the same ways you can have positive inters. You know that concept? Like, I do think Dom was onto something there. Like, you can have a positive inter where they are inting, they are doing the wrong player, but if you put them with the right players, it becomes like an opportunity for the right player to come out of it. Like a million Hillersang flanks that we can all think of, where as you see on the wrong team, it looks shit, and on the right team, they win the game off it. So my problem is that, is like in the modern day, they don't have the players. They just, here's what's mad, they have players that like have mechanics, but they're not even good in lane necessarily now, which is mind blowing. The Finn one, I'll never understand, because the only reason to ever get Shigenda was to be like slightly above average in lane, and that was it, and to play carry champ. So they actually now treated it like, let's get Finn instead, a worse version of that player with more experience, and it was way less likely to develop. That one blows my mind. So the real problem is, this is why I put it all on the GMing, because the GM really has like step by step taken you from an all LEC roster to what we have now, which is a bunch of players where some of these players probably won't be in LEC in 2 years at this point in time. You know what I mean? Like Larson probably will be, maybe Markun will be. I don't know about the others. Maybe Comp can get a spot. The others might never play again. This might be the end for them.
The Trimby Advian trade will go down in like Western League as one of the worst Western trades in like
I mean, the joke is they didn't even keep Advi in. That's the maddest part. Yeah, like that.
And it might have been like it might be like the perks thing, where it's like any human being that isn't Trimby, we get them? But now you've seen the repercussions of that. Well, you got any human being that wasn't Trimby, and now you are dog shit. The other thing you've kind of got to like consider here is, and this is like my great concern, which is why I wish I could have grabbed like Larson by his ears, because me and you have watched esports for a long time. Your window to win don't always come back. Larson looks like when I was talking about some Dota players, it looks like the setting sun, unless he can get his arse off of that team in some way, or they can get a winning squad around them, because like at the end of the day, you're in the practical sense, unless G2 like blows themselves up, even if you got like a good squad around yourself as Larson, you'd be guaranteed to win. There's still other great teams, and you've not even got that. You're so far at the back of the queue of being anywhere near winning the LEC that is absolutely bonkers. And so you're just wasting your time. You're wasting years of your career, which you do not have. There's nothing to say Larson's always going to be Larson.
Oh, no,
like I don't think Larson's actually been anywhere near as good a player this year. He's still skilled, he's still like good at the things that he's good at, but he's nowhere near the carry player that he was even last year. So you've got to put that into consideration. The only thing that I thought that was possibly going to be quite interesting was the guy that taught Freddy to play League. They got N-rated, who was like known for being like one of the smartest guys in Europe for many, many years. So he came into coaching for the team, and I don't know. It's really hard to tell. I can only point to like people and basically what they're doing, and like for example, I don't think Finn's great, but there are actual game like sections where I think Finn is doing something really, really good, and his team sells him down like a river, and he dies because his like team just won't do like anything. Like they have like a dragon set up. Zolas goes in, they hook the target, they damages the target, and everyone walks back out of the dragon pit into river, and then Finn's on a flank and dies. And it's just like, what was the plan there? Like, what was the actual plan? You even hooked the target and nobody used any spells. Like, why even show up to like the dragon? You're basically just being there to make sure that, like, to watch it die. You just be like, yes, it died. So they're very, very frustrating. I don't even like to identify too much of the headspace of why so, because there's just so much wrong from just start to finish, that I'd be like, you need to, at a foundation level, there's just nothing there. It's just complete free fall right now, anyway.
Well, the thing is, they're a shit team anyway, so we'll move on. But I've got a couple of last points, and then we'll just go to the other team. So one thing to say is this as well. This is also the problem, though, Kiri. I had to learn this a lot over the years. There's a big difference between being really knowledgeable about the game and being a really good coach. I mean, the joke is, if you're actually an amazing coach, it's why I say I don't care. Even though I know he does know about draft and stuff, I don't care what Youngbook knows, because just the things I've heard of the stories of how he actually coached people were fucking straight fire. Like, they were literally, like, understanding how to work with men and how to resolve problems and how to like play off dynamics within teams and tension and things. But so basically the other problem you have is this. I think N-Rated is one of the smartest people to ever play League of Legends, but I don't know what he's like as a coach, obviously. Like, I can tell you right now, sometimes you get very, very smart coaches that have two problems. One is, essentially, they're just like one of those college university professors that does a lecture, and it might all be straight fire, but they're just droning on and you tune out. Like what happens is sometimes in VOD review, because they are the guy who knows exactly what's wrong, they're just too didactically explaining everything. And now what you would do is this, and remember, you would watch the sideline. It's like, no, there's some coaches out there, just asking questions might help there. What could we have done? What should you do? Sometimes that's a better method to get you to engage with the learning. And then the other thing to say as well is, on the Marcoon one, I'm just going to put this out there as food for thought for a future episode. My problem with Marcoon, if people have noticed, is I've never been all in. Have you noticed that? Like, when he was on XL the first time, Dom used to go fucking ham on this guy. The reason I've never gone all in is because it's funny, this guy was on XL, because he's always given me the same fucking vibe as Patrick, which is they are both most of the time above average at their role, but I have never bought that they ever entered like, I'm the best player at my role, or I'm elite at that. They've always been on that fringe, and I'll tell you the reason why I do feel like what I've said is justifiably being borne out. Look at their teams. Isn't that what happens to all of their teams? They get to that fringe part where they are, and then they're not actually the best, so they don't go to the top. So I'll just say that. It's why I don't mind any of these moves with Marcoon and the teams to be in the last few years. I think those are actually teams where it was worth a gamble. The difference is, though, I wouldn't have ever put him into a Fnatic or something like that. You know, I think he should be more around the sort of fourth to fifth type team range. I think that's fair. Right, let's go on then. What about, let's talk about actually a good team. Let's talk about G2. So here's the question, Kira, is do you actually think, because there was moments in the other split where you could see some flaws, you could see certain players maybe before the final work play as well. Do you actually see any areas to be worried about G2? Are they, is it easy enough because everyone's doing it? Will they just win this split? Will they be the number one team?
Yeah, like G2 shouldn't like ever lose a split. Like even the split that they lost, I think people kind of somewhat forget like the fashion in which they lost it. Like it took some concerning things to happen for them to lose. Yes, other games were played, but they were dicey. And here's the thing, I talked to Rich about this. Like, I literally said this. Every single time G2 loses to someone, I can assure you the next time they play them, or it's close, it'll be scorched earth. Like, right. they nearly lost to XL. They might be, like, the best at, like, fixing their own problems of, like, any, like, of the teams right. in, like, Europe. Like, for example, at Worlds, see when they lost to NA, I would have said to them, like, they lost those games to NA, they were totally legit losses, but if G2 were to play them again, I would say to you, there's not a life in hell they would, like, they would lose. They would, like, annihilate them because they are so good at learning from their own, like, mistakes. In saying that, they're even scarier because Caps is just playing at, like, an unbelievable level right now. So when last year I gave the consideration, I didn't think Caps was always playing that well, and he had some, like, dicey moments within splits, and so they were somewhat, like, beatable, particularly in, like, the execution comp eras. But if Caps is going to play like this, it's over. And if teams are going to give them smolder, man, like, if any team knows how to just hold map position and scale until an ADC comes into the game, it's fucking G2. Like, what were people thinking, man? Like, you're basically told Hansama, I can give you a true damage dealing, reposition, flying, wave clearing Aphelios. And Hansama just went, sound, I'll take that. And, like, bro, Hansama wasn't even, like, great on the pick and anything. He just killed everyone just died on screen, mate. Like, G2 didn't... In the KC game, KC were 0-6 up, 4,000 gold. KC couldn't figure out how to break midsection. And I was watching it with friends. I said, you could delete Yike from the game right now. You wouldn't need Yike and they'll win the game. Like, that's how much damage and how, like, easy it was going to be for G2. Because even though KC had gotten the early lead, they didn't have any idea on how to end the game. And they didn't know what to do against Smolder. So they still look like the best team. Interestingly enough, if you want to talk about weaknesses of the team, don't think Hansama and Mickey X have been playing out bot lanes that well, and that's kind of been somewhat consistent across it. Like, I think also G2's understanding around bot lane and bot lane timings, I think it might be like the third best of like the collective team of like all three players. Like, I actually think that's Mad Lion's win condition against G2, is that they understood like the bot lane fights and timings better than G2 did. And I think at times Fnatic were better than them, but then like Fnatic were just fuck ups in other regards, so G2 would still win the game. So in that sense, they've actually somewhat regressed from last split, because I think that's actually how they won the majority of last split, was that they were the best. Yike, Mickey X, Hansama were the best three players around bot lane and just won every single bot lane like skirmish. So they've been weaker in that consideration, but they are a massively impressive team. Put it this way, I am not someone who thinks like BB is like the greatest player or the best like Western top laner at all times, but I'm also someone that says he probably uses the fact that he's on G2 the best of any player, because when you give him like counter pick, he really does actually like use it. There's like a depth of play there, and he has some really big game moments in like mid game. He like helps out, and if you listen to comms, in terms of like team fight coordination, all that, a lot of that stuff seems to come from like BB. He has like a big voice in the team, so. I think they look somewhat unstoppable. If they lose this split, I will be unbelievably surprised, because I think they are just so far ahead of everyone else. And in playoffs, they get two shots at it unless you beat them in the finals. So I don't know. I don't know what the realistic win condition is. I said this to Rich. I think the only team that can practically beat them when both teams play well, so regardless of people just ending and just like having a moment like live on air, like which can happen to any player. We've seen it. Chova does it. Knight does it. Can happen. Outside of that, if both players, the teams play very, very well, I genuinely think only Fnatic beats them. Like, and that's only sometimes. Like, G2 could still win those games. So I'm not too sure. They are very, very, very good.
One of the things I think is so OP and makes this team almost unfair is they not only in each role, especially now, have like almost the best player in the LEC, And also, we know it works together. But then let's just add in, their coach's specialty the whole time in league is draft and baiting people in to Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Slyle, you have activated my trap card drafts, right? And then, bro, look at the fucking players he has in terms of champion pool. He has Mickey X, the joke with Hans Samer is, right? Yeah, even though in theory he needs his champions, you also have to ban them every game, and now you have to ban Smolder as well. So that means just for Hans Samer, I have to ban three things. Mickey X already plays a bunch of flexes. Bro, Broken Blade even plays them, and Caps even has a whole bunch of, like, bro, he's also got all, this is like the dream team for Dylan Falco. I can see why he re-signed with this exact five squad. Like, why not just run it back? Essentially, I get to choose what happens in the game now, so what's awesome. And I'm with you as well. Like, if you look at the team right now, it's already unfair that they have the best team, and like I said, the best team, the best draft, the best fucking champion pools. Yeah, let's just throw in there that, unlike past couple of years, at the moment, it really does look like Caps just wakes up, like, time to win today, and then he just wins the game. And like, and if he wakes up like that, there is no counter. That you just lose that game. And if anything, you just be glad it's a BO1. Like, there's some of these games he's playing in this last split and a half. Like, he just, you, no one could have stopped him. Like, this is why he had that status 3 or 4 years ago. It's like, maybe he's like a top 10 player in the world. Never mind like the best European. Maybe he's just like as good. Maybe he is better than like BDD. That was like a real conversation back in the day. Justified. Well, he's back in that category now, boys. So yeah, I just think they're too OP. I don't even buy the angle, even though I get the logic of why people think Fnatic can, because obviously you think of, like, in your brain, if Oscar Anan has the best lane in phase, and then Razork gets rolling, and Humanoid does a few mechanics out players, he's one of the only players that can potentially can outplay Caps. Like, you've got pieces there, but even so, here's the problem. Bruh, maybe there's a universe where you get lucky and you can draw them in the BO3s. Fnatic ain't winning 2 BO5s against this team, bro. It ain't happening. It just ain't happening. Even Fnatic know that ain't happening. And I'll say this right now. As of right now, even though I had Fnatic on my tier list as number 3, that's an indictment of the rest of the league, boys. We'll talk about Fnatic now. And here's the reason I say that, Kira. Because I have to say, mate, I think it's actually only that whole copium that we all need to have of, like, well, maybe they could beat G2. We're all making it sound like that makes them second best. I don't even know if they are second best yet. We'll have to see on that one, boys. So let's talk about Fnatic. Where you at on this squad? Because obviously, it's another team that gambled on not making moves. They stuck with what they had. They hoped it was good enough. I will say, the last split, let's be real. If they actually were sane, they would win that Mad Lions series. I think they would have just, with the BDS shit, they would have been in the final. Like, they could have been second best team last split, but they weren't. They did blow it in the playoffs. So, what about Fnatic? Where are they at for you?
So, like, the crazy thing was, is I actually think, so Fnatic nearly made it to play BDS, and they basically had a maniac in the top lane. And Oscar Innan, like, just sent the playoffs to the abyss.
That was mental.
I would have been really disappointed. I was actually majorly disappointed in his level of play, because he wasn't even good at, like, the things he's supposed to. I have said this a million times, because when I talk positively about Oscar Innan, I always put it in the context. He's one of the people that gains the most from playing around Razork, because he just death pushes every fucking lane. He has no lane control skills, and he just basically prays to God that Razork's going to be on his side of the map when he overextends, and Razork's going to cover his arse. And yeah, so when he does get to team fights, he's really, really good. I say this and it, like, tilts Rich, but what's really funny is I genuinely think Razork, of any Western player, has the largest correlation of his performance to actual, like, his team winning. As in, like, Razork cannot play bad and Fnatic win the game. Yes. Or, unless, like, Humanoid just, like, plays, like, absolute out of his mind. But, like, it's unbelievable how well Razork plays and how consistently he gets them into winning positions. And it's really cool because he's now actually got someone who's, like, playing, like, very well with him. And I can't actually get over how well Jun, like, plays with, like, Razork. Like, they play off of each other in terms of, like, engages and setups, like, really, really well. They don't always, like, win. Like, the end result isn't always. But they give, they, like, do, like, CC chains and target selection that gives their, like, carries, like, a chance to at least win fights. They give them, like, the platform that is, like, here's the basic requirement, now you need to do your job. And, you know, you've seen it in, like, the Heretics games, and this is, like, the downfall of people like Noah, is that they're, like, skilled players, but, like, in no metric is Noah, like, elite. Like, he hasn't, like, specialised as someone, even, like, someone like Flack, where, like, Noah's, like, the best thing about Noah is he, like, has, he will not, like, overpush lanes, and he, like, will allow people to, like, pick his, like, champs early and allows a bit of, like, draft flexibility. But I would never say he's, like, that great at team fighting. I don't think he's that great at laning. He hasn't got, like, this massive, like, champion pool. And so, like, when he's given these, like, positions, I look at Fnatic and I was like, if Karzu was in some of these team fights, Fnatic would be winning games, like, 3, 4, 5 times, like, more likely. Humanoids right now is probably playing the best like league that of like mid lane of like anyone that's not named like Caps. He's very excellent. You've seen like the Talia, he has great understanding of like map movements, really aggressive.
Champion Paul is slapping him in his face here for another split, but fair play, he's working it.
He's still a fuck up artist. Like how he like when I watched him dive next to Jankos and get Lee Sin kicked into the with the Nico ult, I was just like, that is the most humanoid play I've ever seen in my entire life. I was like, because only he could make a boneheaded like.
It's funny that people did compare him as like the next Caps, because I have to say he has the craps element in him, like you say. He'll always do one really weird move. He doesn't always get caught in it, but he'll always do that one move randomly in a game that gives you a chance.
It's the thing, it's like he's like one of the best Corki players in the game. But inexplicably, he'll die in some he'll always die in the most bizarre, makes no sense at all situation. There is like a really like funny element to it. Like you know, like the madness, two sides of the same coin of like genius. So they are, and here's the other thing. When you look at how they lost to Mad Lions, I actually thought they basically choked the series out. Like, they stopped, like, de-warding, and Friskovi was, like, flanking them on, like, Gragas. They looked really flustered. They looked, like, really, really panicked. But, like, when Fnatic are just, like, at their, like, base level, they do a lot of things really, really well. They're really good at collecting side lane farm. They're really good at securing isolated tier 2s. Even when Oscar Innan's, like, put in these really, really bad like lane matchup, there is always like a plan to like actually get like the gold onto like the carries and scale to a point where like the game can be won. Fnatic is one of the only teams I see that when plan A doesn't work, you know what I mean, they actually do have like a plan B. They will not just attempt to do the same engage, the same team fight over and over again. And maybe that's where some of their flaws come from, but like, put it this way, they are of the top teams that are attempting to beat G2, they probably have the most like positive elements, and that's why I always say that they're the only team that can do it. But their flaws are so awful to watch sometimes. Like, they're such a frustrating team. And they've always been a frustrating. This version of Humanoid and Razor being together has just been, how frustrating they are to watch to play together is undeniable. It really is something special.
My problem is this, is if you take out Razork from this Fnatic team, right? We're assuming you can't just take Yike, right? El Yoya at the moment stays in Mad Lions, right? There's not that many other players. Like, I'm guessing Jankos is enjoying. Bro, like, Razork is like this. He is the team as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I agree with you. Like, I actually think he plays really, like, essentially beyond like the odd game, and sadly some of them were at the end of the playoffs. He was so fucking good that last split, mate. He actually was for real. Like, especially better man, he isn't on G2. He was fucking unbelievably good. I think the thing is, I've obviously got him locked up, and famously him and Humanoid have the massive contracts. So I know one signed him in the last few years. But like, they better hold on to this fucking player, mate. Because the difference is, you take any other player, put him with like a normal LEC level player, and the rest of the team could still function. If you put Razork with just an average LEC jungler, they wouldn't fucking, they'd win like no games, mate. This team would drop off a cliff. Like, I think that guy's cracked completely. Whereas the difference is, I think people like Oskarinen just hasn't been the player he was last year. Noah's just aight. He's just aight, mate. And then Humanoid, I'm with you. He is good. My problem is though, We'll wait and see later in the split, but I think later in the split he'll actually lose some games doing some of those moves, because that'll never leave his game, mate. Unfortunately, with him as well, I can tell you, it is actually arrogance. Like, he does just somehow think he can never get caught in those moments. And so, by the way, sometimes he doesn't. He does the double thing sometimes too, where you put yourself in the bad spot and then you do use your hands to get out of it and go, lol, haha, calculated. But like, that's only funny in the odd time, guys. You're going to do that internationally if that's part of your game. It's going to happen. So I can just get scared when I have players like that on my team.
I'll tell you how real I am, right? Here's a one for you. I'm a big Yike fan. I think he's the best carry jungler in like the West I've seen for a while. That Viego game, like, put it this way, that should be put in, there should be a Hall of Fame for that Viego game in the final for him and Babel. He had the ability to play like carry junglers and like put on big boy pants and literally be like, give me all the resources and I'll take you to the promised land. Even on like a team like G2, is like nuts. And I've thought he's been good for a very, very long time, right? Yike can't do what Razork does on Fnatic, because he's never shown the ability to do it. And so I don't like pretend that like he ever has. Razork genuinely plays all three lanes. Like, if the meta tomorrow was about playing around mid lane, Razork would still be one of the best junglers. If it was about isolating top lane matchups and 1v1s, Razork would still be one of the best junglers. Right now, it's a race to bottom and making sure that you have like strong 3v3s and 3v2 situations. And the only reason, like, the Fnatic's bot lane's not even good. Like, it's not even good. The only reason it stands a chance is that, like, Razork is, I think he's the best at, like, understanding, like, that dynamic, the timings and stuff. And it's the only reason, even, like, Aloya, Alvaro, and Supar are much better three players together. But Razork just makes a difference because, like, he can just edge out, find, like, the windows, the, like, the timings to, like, do things. So I think what he's doing, even for, like, a long time at the end of, like, last year, was impossibly good. And basically, like, because he's got no championships, I really do hope that it doesn't, like, kind of get forgotten in, like, history. Because it's genuinely, like, we're now on, like, a period of time. It's, like, one of the best, like, jungler runs of, like, it's like when Jankos was on, like, the H2K lineups and just couldn't get the win, but he was still, like, one of the best junglers in the league, and he was just doing so much for all those H2K lineups. Yeah, then the Feb of him won, then, like, the ones after that. We're at that, like, level of just, like, impossibly good, just can't find the championships.
Right, because here's the thing. I'll give you the segue. I'll say the line, Bart, to make all the kids mad. Here's what will make you really mad, guys. Unironically, he used to be on Fnatic. If you just took the same Fnatic lineup and put Upset instead of Noah, that whole convo about the G2 thing earlier completely changes, boys. That'd be game on at that point. Because I'm with you. I also think you've noticed. That's why when I went through the junglers, it's actually hard to find a jungler that can do what Razork does, mate. There's junglers who might be better than him, but not at what he's doing. I do think he's insane. So, yeah, let's move on then. Let's talk about Carmine Corp. Because, mate, bearing in mind now, Yamato wasn't there. So I'll straight up, I don't give a fuck about the Carmi Corp org. I'm not French. Spoiler, I'm actually English, which means historically I shouldn't like French people. I don't want this team to succeed because of them. There were only two reasons left I want this team to succeed, and that is jungle and ADC, bought and upset. And mate, it's going to be, even though Carmine Corp, I predict this last week, it is going to be better for them. They're going to win some games now, and they're going to have some games that are going to look decent, and they're not going to have, and also, they've had time together, got more and more time to get iron out the kinks. Mate, this is still the upset nightmare simulator, this fucking team. Because if you noticed, bro, it's like if you've ever played a bad solo queue game as an ADC, and you know that, like, it doesn't even matter if you get two kills early on. The dickhead top lane is going to feed five kills. You know that feeling of, like, what you do never actually gives you, like, the momentum them to win. That's what I feel like when I watch this team play. Like, they still haven't fixed up. Sarkhan, by the way, is still just an empty chair. Cabochard's, here's the thing, he's just not as bad as the first 2 weeks. He was just so bad those first 2 weeks of last year that, like, just not being that bad makes you look all right. Targamas is still a mute doing nothing. Like, bro, what has changed? Like, Upset still does what the best he can. Poe does what he can, but it just doesn't have a team that works. Like, I think this team is still bad. It's just that because of the nature of the league, they might be able to do what I said and come 5th to 6th. They might just be able to do it. Like, I don't think it's a good team, mate. I still don't think this is a good team, personally.
So here's the thing. I actually think this team, this is fucking crazy. This team is actually best suited not playing like the rest of the LEC. This team should not play to actual, like, bot lane. They should actually look to, because of, like, the strength of, what you've got, the players you've got, and so you should attempt to play to the best version of League of Legends. I actually think Bo and Sakin should be basically playing for, like, Cabo, who then, and then Cabo creates space to isolate farm and create a mid section that Upset can then play on and give them a platform to actually get to mid game and be able to, like, team fight. Now, last year, I was actually thought Upset's, like, performances, like, on, like, Varus and, like, Lucian, I actually don't think he played his, like, best individual League of Legends ever. I actually think he made loads of
Last split.
I think he made, like, a lot of uncharacteristic, like, positioning mistakes and stuff like that. But, like, the games were lost anyway. But, like, you should still give, like, your best, like, version of yourself. Yeah. So, but in the consideration of, like, you see, like, some of the, like, the KC game that they lost to, like, Fnatic. Yes, Fnatic are one of the better, like, teams. But you're actually looking, they still have a lot of the problems where, like, even when they have, like, the gold leads, they're not good at, like, spacing out, like, team fights and creating, like, pockets. And people give, like, a lot of consideration, like, to it. Like, I was someone, because I watched them and seen them for, like, a long time. Bo is, like, a very, very, like, skilled, like, player. But I think a lot of people need to understand, like, it is very, players are not the same when they play on, like, foreign teams. And particularly when you play on foreign teams who no one actually shares, like, a language. Like, we are at the point where, like, you know, Upset and Bo are, like, talking the most and coordinating, like, the most, even on, like plays and stuff. And you can hear how, like, chaotic, like, the comms are and stuff. And I don't think the communication in the team is like the best, and it's actually really, really hard to like follow what's getting called. It doesn't help when you've got like people like Sacken just calling stuff that's abstractly not true and just cannot happen. But put it this way, like I think Bo is like a very, very, very good like good player, but he's still like extremely like greedy and like wants to try and play like a tempo or like sometimes like a level of like disrespect. That like he needs like someone to like not rein him in, but like, you know, give him, like help him like understand and evaluate what like the team is like wanting to do in like front of them. Like there needs to be someone on KC that's like talking about the pace at which team fights are going to get played, because you have like sometimes backline and frontline separating and not going forward together, and these types of things like just can't happen right now in like modern League of Legends. And yeah, it's really hard, but that, and that's a thing that's going to happen when you have a lot of people that don't share language, but you've chosen to play with like Bo, and so someone's kind of going to have to either, you're going to have to like talk to Bo and like try and like bring it in, or you're going to have to like allocate someone to like talk, because I'd be really interested to basically see who's like setting up like the team fights and stuff. The other thing is like, put it this way, I don't think Target Master's that good, but last year him and Upset were actually like
last split, so much, but we know what you mean.
Sorry. Last split, they fucked me up, Thorne. They got me with like, these early three ones. Him and Upset were playing, like, they were getting push and bot lane, and they were getting themselves into positions where they would attempt to do dives and stuff. Now, they weren't always playing the matchups like LPL, LCK level, like dodging on skill shots, but they were actually getting, like, the push off and then fumbling what to like sometimes do with those like pushes. So there was actual like positive elements to it. I feel like the team just needs to try and find time to get like more coordinated. They've still got like skilled players. It'll be interesting where it goes. I'm actually really surprised Sacken's as bad as he is, because he is someone that I watched in the ERLs. And
you figure eventually the nerves should just go away and he should just play a normal game eventually, right? Come on.
Yeah, it's just so, it's just so perplexing, because he like makes mistakes that are put it this way, just because you go to the LEC doesn't mean that like people's champions move three times as fast or four times as tanky and like people don't take damage. But like his mistakes are just, they're quite perplexing at times, you know. Like it's like even at ERLs this play would not have been good, or like was not good target selection, would they cut at that level. So I'm not too sure it'll go on to really where you go with him, but from reported, like, what people were saying, and then, like, the voice comms, like, Cabo's, like, the biggest voice, and even though Cabo might not be the most, like, insane, like, skilled player, I think you've kind of got to, like, latch onto that to give this five-man the best possible chance, but we'll see. I think they'll be better this split. They've showed way more positive qualities, but it'll be interesting to see where they go.
The saddest thing is, even though I was quite high on the original roster, the Targamas thing was just based on when I saw in the RLs, he was all right. So I thought, oh, maybe it'll be a problem. I always, if you'd have given me a choice, this was the team I always thought should have signed Trimby, by the way. It just seems obvious. First of all, I can tell you, I know Upset. He fucks with Trimby. He thinks he is good. And then secondly, now, for what we know now from the voice comms, bro, boys crying out for a player like Trimby to join in the fucking conversation and actually figure out, like you say, what we're going to do. And it's the other player that can move around the map, for fuck's sake. Like, that's why it's so insane to me that they did just fire you battle, but then not sign fucking Trimby. It's like, at least do the other one as well, for fuck's sake. Because I just want to say something quickly about Bo that goes like this. This is where you are giving yourselves away and self-reporting on Reddit, you idiots. When you say on Reddit about Milky Way from FPX, I heard before about a player who was going. So what you're saying is you don't watch the games because you think they're the same player. You think that's the same guy. That's how I know you're just parsing other Reddit comments and trying to intuit what happens in League of Legends. Because the Milky Way example is mental. Because here's the one thing I'll say even I didn't think about when Bo played for FPX. Is he was playing with Prime fucking Doinby. Prime Doinby, by the way. The one that could lane and was the god shot caller. Now, if you know Doinby, the joke is about a million junglers, a lot of Koreans, by the way, or this guy, like, if they're fucking Korea. Like, think about some of those. Clid is an obvious one, but some of the others y'all won't even remember. Flawless. Some of these motherfuckers should just be tithing to Doinby. He had them, like, relevant in the LPL, and people actually at one point were saying, these guys are pretty good. And then the joke is, most of them never do anything after Doinby. So Doinby is, like, the ultimate fucking fixer for the the jungle. I mean, Tian also. Think about Tian at his best. And Tian, when he's not with Doinby, it's very different, isn't it? No matter how good the mid laner is.
Almost could be, on LPL with dude, Swift.
It could be Knight. It could be rookie mid lane. It doesn't matter. It isn't the same as when he has Doinby. So first of all, obviously, he doesn't have Doinby in the West. And he's speaking in the English language, right? But then I'll throw this in there as well. Meanwhile, the Milky Way guy doesn't have Doinby. So that's not even the same scenario at all. But yeah, that's the killer for me. It's because... people who are still out on board, it's like, bruh, just give up. You're just saying you have no eye test. You have nothing going for you at all. Because you can certainly argue things like, should he be... Like, here's the obvious arguments you could make against Bo is maybe he shouldn't be in a Western team. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe the culture doesn't work out. Maybe the fit doesn't work out. Maybe coaching staff can't get through to him somewhere. But one thing you can't deny is his fucking talent, mate. This would be like... I'll give you the example, and I hope you can get this as a random fan. This would be like... People probably know I don't like Southmade because of some of the shitty things he did as a teammate and things he said about me publicly. But I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't go, he has no mechanics either. Because that's the one thing he obviously has. But you're so dumb that to hate on Bo, you actually tell me he doesn't have talent and that it was all fake. By the way, I'm just going to tell you right now, the one area that Bo is like Milky Way is you can't accidentally, as a bad player, get away with like 7 BO3s or whatever. And I think it was 10 for him or something. Like, you can't win that many BO3s in the LPL by accident. It's not like that. And it's not the fucking LMS or something, you idiots. Like, it's a fucking killer league. Like, you actually have to be good. So that whole topic's so played out. But whatever, we'll come to that later because I'll definitely do some Milky Way content very soon. Right, let's switch it up then. Let's talk about Vitality. Because here's another example of a team where I actually think, this is what's so sad, mate, is I really, really wish, the number one wish I have in European League of Legends is please just improve the GMs. That's it. It's not the talent.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the biggest myth of all time. I think there's more talent in the league now than there ever was. But the GMing is terrible. Like every team, it feels like. Dude, this almost, I'll give you the analogy that's a banger. These lineups actually look like when you get that fucking meme that they do on Twitter, where you go build a team with $10, you know, and you've got the $5 players and the $4. And then the idea is you have to figure out from $10, like, do I take like one $5 and then like three of the $1 so I can pick this other? You have to like balance it out. Right? They look like they're all doing that. Meanwhile, like, that's not the way the league is, guys. Some people have no budget and they should have none of the good players, but somehow they didn't explicitly get one or two players by having like a decent eye. Then you have these big teams that, like we're saying about some of the teams before, you have massive name teams that are just signing players like, but why? Like the like that Ryan Reynolds meme, but why? Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, it's in, like, essentially, you're just giving up your edge to the lower teams. Like, why are you letting that team have Nisqy or whatever? Like, I don't get it, mate. I don't get some of the fucking signings. So I think right now the biggest problem that the Vitality squad has is they actually do look like some parts of the team are good and know how to play it. And then some of the other parts look like, are they even in the same team? Like, I have a problem with this squad because I'm so close. I keep wanting to get on board. But then they'll always play a BO1 that makes me like, I'm not fucking getting on board with that on the screen. I'm out. So give me your thoughts on Vitality, where you at? Because they're clearly a good team, right?
Yeah, like the problem is like, I remember LS talked about this. It was an old Korean concept that he thought of. It was called all muscle. It's when all someone has is just their strengths. And then if their strengths can't like beat you, they have got nothing to fall back on. And like Vitality are like an all muscle team where like theoretically their backline could be like one of the best in the league. Like all their players at a time have been some of the best like team fighters, mid game players on a variety of different rosters. Now, when you bring those together, that doesn't always play out like that. You know what I mean? The ball can't be in three places. You can't peel for everyone. But, you know what I mean? They have all shown prowess in different regards. I just think one of the biggest problems right now is you have Hillisang playing the worst League of Legends he has ever played in his entire life. It is like, there are different ways to be bad. Hillisang's level of bad is like, you cannot carry him. It's like, so bad. This was like last split. Now he's been a bit more like consistent here, but the cracker is you've paired him with Vifio and a rookie jungler. Now Vifio has shown a somewhat higher tendency and a better, more well-roundedness to his game in terms of he'll like move a lot more and get out of his lane to go and help other things.
For sure.
But he has in no way Nisqy, right? Okay, let's not pretend that Vifio has all of a sudden like absorbed Nisqy's like properties or like caps his properties. He has not. Yeah, that is not what has happened. And it doesn't look to me that like, because this is what I got told. Daglus is basically like a carry jungler and like he wants to play like carry jungle picks. And that's like one of the things he was like known for doing. And it doesn't look like the team really has.
They're never
like
going to let him do it, man. How would they?
Yeah, like that's not like a platform there. So you've kind of got like this miscoordination of like what type of like jungler they want. Like the thing is like Vett want Razor. They want someone who's going to play for their lanes and babysit the lanes and be very, very selfless and get his laners in amazing positions. But the problem is, there
What about if they had Markoon? Would you like that?
Yeah, I think Markoon could possibly be better, or like a Yank, like if they could have got Yankos onto this team, that's something Yankos is brilliant at as well, right? But so there's just too much disconnect, because I actually think going into this year, I don't think it was actually the worst GM team possible. It's just what actually happened in the server. You're just kind of like, that's not good, is it? Oh, that's pretty, pretty awful. But there is upwards mobility. Like, they've decided to stick with Helasang. Helasang can, like, get better, like, play better. Like, I wouldn't have, like, the problem is like, because when Rich was explaining it to me, is because this split doesn't link up with the ERLs, so it's really hard to reach down, because they'll basically just like, they'll ask for like a king's ransom for like whatever player who like buyout should be like 100k, but they're going to be like, it's easy 800k because it's the midway through their first split, so they're going to have to kind of stick it out with like Helasang and try and find it. Obviously the game that everyone's going to talk about is the SK one, where SK just like absolutely like, but that's the thing, that was like the best version of like SK, where Irrelevant and Isma got like a freeze out because Irrelevant preps the wave, then Niski moves to those play, and then Niski grabs Isma, and it was all the worst properties of Vitality. Like, Vithio's laning was just the worst thing has ever been. Like, he just got dominated by like Niski and had like no priority on this like side lane pick, and you've then decided, I said this to Nymeira, I'm one for like, put it this way, I think you should pick champions like based on the players that you have, but also based on like the current strength and the likelihood of your team. Like, for example, when Knight is on BLG, I don't actually mind them playing Karma, right? Because like, yes, it's Knight and he could be playing something like much better, but like, come on, the carries on BLG are monsters. Like, it's like worth it. Like, the same way as when Faker played it, it did make sense at like times, right? We should not be picking Senna for Karze, because if you don't actually get the Senna to the stacks that the Senna needs to carry the game, it's basically a range creep. Like, it's very, very, very poor. Whereas, like, I've seen Karze pull games out of his backside on, like, the Varus, almost win games on, like, the Jinx. Like, even when, like, behind, if you put him on a pick that just because when the enemy team mistakes, it's like, you fuck up once, you lose two eyes. Like, you kill one person who, when they fuck up, is like Jinx, you get the resets going. Those are the types of games you can like come back into. You can't really do that with Senna. So I've got a bit of a criticism in draft in terms of identity. I think that what they're picking is strong, but I don't know if it's well suited to how that actual team needs to win games.
The problem is, like, I definitely agree with you. The main issue, obviously, jokingly, in this team is, like, the actual traditional carries are all good on paper. Even the Photon guy still continues to have games where he just looks good. By the way, Vethio and Kazi are actually both really good right now. You can actually say Vethio's having his best splits as mid-splits, and Kazi's still just really good. I agree with you, it's more champion pool that just gatekeeps him out a little bit, and then his support was a fucking bomb last split. The joke is, the fucking journalist support still ain't it. Like, look, Hillisang just not dying. Well, apparently that can just win you a game in itself. The Douglas guy, though, mate, he wasn't even good in that one game they shit on. Their Heretics was smolder. Like, he looked like he was fucking wind trading. What the fuck was that? Like, he always tried to lose the game.
We've got letters to fucking match fix, but he was just like, wow. As a shocker.
No, the joke is, it's like he's like some guy being paid to match fixing football, but then he looks over and he's just got like prime Ronaldo next to him, like, oh, I'm just going to score three goals at the end of the game anyway. Like, fucking hell, I'm supposed to throw this one. That's what it felt like. He just couldn't throw it, basically. Yeah. No, I agree with you. If I had to, like, look, everyone could see the Hillisang angle. That's just obvious. It's the Douglas one that's the sleeper. Because even though I also do think the Photon guy doesn't connect well with the team, he is good individually. You just have to watch him. Like, the end of the guy, he is a Korean player playing all these different lineups, and he just does his job, guys. His problem is he just can't ever get to a point where he somehow can play with the team. But the Douglas guy is the one that's the obvious odd man out. I'm with you, mate. Because, like, again, if we're looking at those other teams, that's the one position, if I can just put a different player in, dude, we'll win a lot more games in this team. Because, like I say, the beauty of the team right now, the reason you can have some hope is, at least, look, we all saw Misfits. We all know that, like, the Vethio Neon thing in teamfights was dope. They both understood exactly what their job was. And if you got them to that point, they wouldn't. Karsi's better than fucking Neon, guys. Like, those two players are bona fide. The problem is, the rest of the team just isn't there. So when I look at this squad, I guarantee it's just going to be, this is going to be the spin wheel team. You're never going to know how they're going to do each game. Spin the wheel. Some games, wow, Douglas has a carry game. And then they'll just be back to nothing. Spin, spin, spin. So I'm not even fussed about them. Right, let's go on then. We'll do some of the quick ones to knock them out before we get to the spicy ones. Right, obviously GX, we have to give them one thing. They did beat Mad Lions. That did happen. Even though I will point out that technically is supposed to be an all-Spanish matchup. But apparently no one gives a fuck about Giants. Dude, Giants was the Spanish all, but no one even cares, and whatever. Yeah. If y'all are just going to pick and choose, biasly, then fuck y'all. Which is it? Is it Spain or not? Is it Spain or not? So, just going to put that out there. Right, what do you think of GX, though?
Fuck, what a waste of time, man. Like, oh my God. Like, fuck me, man. I hate this team. Like, even if you've got players on it that I like, right, okay, so I'll just run down the world. Okay, I don't think Odo's, like, playing the best League of Legends of his career. Even his, like, weak side in his matchup understanding, like, there was, like, some stuff like in the Mad Lions game, one to one fun. I think he was playing Rumble and he used ult to clear the wave and then TP'd into the team fight and then didn't have ult. And I was just like, oh, Odo, man, like, oh, that's a killer one to see. Their jungler is an abstract, like, waste of time. Not even because, like, I used to hate on Malrang all the time and I used to dog on all the time. And it's not even the fact that, like people are like, oh, you hate, like, Koreans and LEC. I was like, no, it just happened to be that these two Korean players were fucking dog shit. Like, Peach is awful, man. Like, he's just so woeful. And looking back on it and what I could parse from speaking to some of the players on the team, mainly, like, what was Abadagi on the show, was I think actually the biggest mistake they could have made was removing Limit from this team. And just, like, breaking that up. Now, Limit wasn't some, like, crazy, like, superstar, but it gave, like, a voice that was on, you know, you had Odo talking a lot, and then you had Limit talking a lot, and then you had Abadage who was able to speak. But then you took away Abadage's voice, and then you took away Limit's voice, and then you went and got Ignar and a rookie. And it's just like, and you had something that was working, and you decided to just blow it up. Now, XL, like, making the finals and all that was a miracle. And you basically said, that miracle, yeah, let's not. And I don't even think, like, removing, like, Abadage was, like, a bad decision, because I think Jackie's does have skills. I think on Assassins, you can see that he is actually, like, good at these things. But he shows all the weaknesses of a rookie.
Oh, of course.
Where he fucks up. He's, like, he's a fuck-up artist with a somewhat limited champion pool, but he can use, like, last pick to attempt to, win games. I think, like, for example, like, mechanically, it's, like, pretty good when you do actually get to see, like, what's going on in the, like, mid lane. Patrick, I don't think Patrick's playing his best League of Legends, basically. Like, it's okay. And so, you've just got this whole bundle of, like, mediocrity. And they sometimes, like, get it over the line if the other team, like, make mistakes or other people have, like, a bad day. But they're, like, at least there's some, like, plans in terms of, like, bot lane will attempt to execute something. Jackie's and Odo will attempt to, like, do TP flanks or, like, set up for, like, a specific Drake fight. So they're not as, like, woeful as Rogue, but it's, like, because of the quality of the players that's on it, it is just that, like, really sad, like, disappointing. And at least they're not as boring as Rogue. Like, that's the only, in terms of, like, watching them, there's at least a bit of excitement, but they don't leave me with any hope. And, you know, they've changed, like, their coaching staff, and the Hedon, who they kicked, was basically one of the only coaches I've ever heard players, like, speak positively about. As in, like, Abadage could tell me, like, tangible things that Hedon actually, like, did to, like, fix his, like, gameplay on, like, Azir and stuff. And he was basically saying, like, yeah, he was, like, very, very good. And Odo on, like, on Twitch was talking about, like, Hedon and the coaching staff. So, just, like, then they removed them and went and got tricked. So, you want to see if that changes the environment and they can get some upwards mobility, but I don't see what the positive things, like, are. It's just basically, like, hope Jackie slowly gets better over time and Patrick can start carrying from bot lane, but that doesn't, with the way bot lanes are in the LEC, I don't even know if that's a win condition.
The problem I have with this team, I also think there's another team where the lineup just doesn't work. Like, first of all, the Peach guy, you're right to contrast him with Malrang. He's a check stealer, but in a totally different way. All Malrang does is, like, in Counter-Strike, we have that concept, press W, which is the forward button. You just run in. You just keep running forwards the whole time, like entry fragger. He just did that the whole time, which, like I say, isn't actually a good way to play jungle. It's just that they found it the one team ever where that was a positive somehow. I don't know how still, but it was. The joke with the Peach guy is, It's like, for real, I've given this example before, it's like he's using the old school meta of being in a classroom. He just keeps his head down so no one asks him a question. He just does nothing. He just does nothing all the time. Now, I'll tell you this. The good news is he isn't ever going to get flamed like I just flamed Douglas. I'm like, you're trying to throw the gear. No, he's just never going to do anything. He's just going to be invisible, moving around the map all the time, but not actually doing anything, but not throwing the game. So the problem with that is I don't know why the players in the team. And then the Jackies one. This just kills me, dude, because here's what's sad. I agree. He has games. He obviously had it against Madden. He has pop-offs. He has games where you're like, oh, right, there's talent here. But my problem is this. I think it's an obvious thing to say. Bro, can't we just have leader? What am I missing here? Like, if we're going to have someone say, no, but look, he can have like a pop-off game on your... Well, I've got this boy called leader that does that already, and he's got the experience. Like, what's the upside? Why am I picking this guy? Is he just cheaper or something? What's the deal? Was leader too toxic? I don't know, mate. I don't get it, because like I say, there's players out there in the Arrows that do all this shit. So the problem with this team is just nothing, mate. Patrick was never that insane. Ignar's not bad. He's all right. I'll give him that. Odo, by the way, looks completely checked out and has done the whole time. But you'll notice, I'll just point this out, when they did do that finals run, Odo Amne looked way better. The problem with Odo Amne is this, right? Even though I sort of agree with what you said earlier, like if you're a pro, you should sort of give your best look anyway, even if you're on a bad team, because you sort of advertise to your next team, right? Like, hey, I'm still good. Mm-hmm. The problem is, though, Odo Amne isn't a guy in his third year, guys, who's hoping to get on a big team. He's a guy who knows these are his last years, and he's supposed to win now. So I'm sorry, actually, that is the player that when you realise, fuck, I'm in like the seventh best team again, that is going to be a massive morale dip through the fucking floor. And then remember, his whole style, Odo Amne's whole style, you'd have to go back 10 years to change this now, is being a facilitating player. I'll tell you what, mate. That gets old real fast when you've, like, this is why, by the way, I give Bo insane props for still going in every time. Because, mate, when I go in 50 times and you don't follow me up, I won't be going in the 51st time. That's what Odo Amne's doing. It's like, you know what? If I set it up again in a team fight for us to win and the carries don't carry, well, then I don't give a shit anymore. I'm not bothered on this. Like, there's a rare type of person. It's usually someone like a Bo way early in their career who can still keep doing that. So GX is a completely failed project. Just forget about this one. Fucking jettison it completely. The best case scenario, the only good news for them is Rogue is worse. That's it. So they might have a chance again to sneak that last playoff spot. But even if they do, they come in last place again. Who gives a shit? Like, it's just an irrelevant team. So let's move on. Fuck them. Let's talk about, obviously, an interesting team to talk about is BDS, because they haven't begun the split well. But I have to say, mate, I'm not that scared. Like, I still think this team will get it together and be good. Where are you at on BDS?
So, like, you know, they decided to bring back the prima donna, like the redheaded stepchild of... They brought Adam back into the fold. The county of Dusson was brought back into the French conglomerate. So, yeah, you know, like, Adam's basically not changed as a player. I'll kind of just leave it where he's at. Shields... Not... Even last split was one of my major concerns, and he remains to be so. And the other... So I haven't really got too much to say that I've already said about him. I'm not being so impressed with his like early game plans. I think he gets caught out quite a fair bit. His like setups haven't been good. And I think the depth, not so much that as a concern, but the bigger depth for me is Nuk isn't as good right now as he was like last play. Like Nuk was monstrous last play. He was going into playoffs, like, was a candidate for the best mid laner along
for
Caps.
Yeah.
Then playoffs happened and, you know, other things, you know, results came along, but gave him like a lot of preps. He was a MVP candidate, was very, very, very good. He was like, his team fighting and his ability to pull the trigger with Labrov was very, very impressive.
Well, the joke is, the reason why I let him do that tweet to me is because that was the only shot he landed that night. So, yeah, you know,
there we go.
Because I will say, the problem Nuk had, mate, was just the last playoff series made him look really shit. Unfortunately, yeah. It did, unfortunately.
It really did, mate. Like, it was an absolute shatter of a night, but these things happen, you go again.
Sure.
So I think we're beginning to see some of the problems of like Ice. Like Ice has got some of like the, when Noah was first on like Fnatic, where like if you can like get him to like mid games and stuff, he's like all right or like pretty good at like playing out like team fights, but he doesn't actually bring any like individual like game winning like properties. I refer to all these ADCs as stat sticks, basically. They are just the base, like, normal type of, like, ADC. Like, you move them around the map, you put farm into them, they play Aphelios and Varus too much, and they kill people. The real highlight of this team was obviously probably Labrov, who himself was also an MVP candidate and probably the best support last year. In terms of just actual, not so much systems, because I don't think him and Shield's like systems were as good as other people's, and like his map play is maybe not the best, but actually just individual like playmaking and getting BDS like and winning games, like Labrov was very, very, very good. And so, you know, team, like you've seen games where like he's been getting the Blitzcrank and they lose, and it was like you couldn't give it to him last time. I think BDS as a general five-man unit look less coordinated, which is somewhat of a concern. You hope that like team play is something that like can continue and like stick around. But I'm the same as you. I'm not really worried about them. BDS were never like a skill check team, and sometimes you can just have a couple of games that just aren't your night. And so I've no real major concerns. I think they'll definitely make it into the playoffs. They'll be a dangerous team for majority of people to play against, not named G2. And I'm kind of just interested to see where they develop to. Only thing I would say is, as everyone in the league's understanding of like bot lane improves, I wonder how Ice and Shield and Labrov, where that's kind of going to go, and if that's going to be a consistent weakness that people are going to be able to prey on to beat BDS. That would be my looking forward, what could go wrong.
The good thing for me is this. If you notice, I always frame conversation about BDS because I have the advantage of actually having talked to these people around the coaching staff of the team. I actually think the coaching staff is mega. So the key thing is, even though I do think they have started the split looking mad fucking ropey, I do think it could all be fixed, especially because the league is so weak in terms of like some of the teams and how none of them are complete. So they all have strengths and weaknesses and fatal flaws and stylistic elements that are good, but then counters to what they do. And nearly all of them even have draft elements you can play off. So the main problem to me is this. One, obviously, they did not have the same mid laner, like you say. Nook was actually, unironically, probably a top three mid last split, guys. Yes, he was pretty good. And that was one of his best splits ever. But first of all, like, bruh, that fucking Taliyah game he had, that was just ass cheeks, mate. Like, and I'm just going to put this out there. If you're the player Nook is, bro, remember, the terminology in the modern day the Zoomers uses, you're trying to beat the allegations. That's the saying, you know, they say you're not going to beat the allegations. Tell you what, bro, you aren't beating the allegations. You're the boring mage player. When the second you can't play a Zay, you just look like fucking ass cheeks and just get fucking wrecked and look really bad. And then also, I'll put this out there. The reason why I've never given Nook his full credit is because, mate, how many times am I going to see him look at his best when conveniently the other part of the Venn diagram is Shio playing well? Mate, this guy, he just is your fucking game. Like, the Shio guy, he is the bellwether, and Nook goes up and down as Shio goes up and down. Just watch them play, you'll see it. Like, the Nook guy on his own, this is why I've always said in that tweet, I'm just waiting for the days where you get the Larson treatment. Let's put you on a different team without the same top laner. So let's see what you do if you're playing for Giant X cocksucker. How about that? Should we see how it goes for you in Giant X? Because I don't think at this point in time you're going to be an all LEC player, and I've said it before. But with that said, he was never the main reason they won anyway. Like, it's not like it's not like this is Hanwha Life and he was Chovy. Like, if anything, he was actually bizarrely a sort of role player from mid anyway in terms of how much resources and picks they gave him. And I think what they'll fix the draft. That'll be okay. Listen, they let him play that Jace game last year, guys, when he was pretty good because he was popping off. That was like a reward. I would say no rewards for this split. The Jace game was not a good one. Put that back on the shelf. You're not in the LPL bit. Your game. So we'll put that back on the shot. We'll get you back on the nice, comfortable little Loreana. Maybe, you know, chuck a cheeky little corky in every now and then. There you go. You have fun with that. Nico, anytime you want it, bruh. Anything Faker plays, you're a shitter version of Faker. Play that. But you're not the star player. And the problem you have in this team is, this is the one time you do miss having Crowdy, mate. But I'll tell you what right now, you'd love to have someone just murk everyone on Smolder. You'd fucking love that right now, wouldn't you? If you can't play through Adam, who are you playing through? Because it ain't mid lane, bruh. So the problem with their team is, it all just comes down to, will the coaching staff fix it? I think they will. Here's the thing, I don't actually know for sure if they'll be second best like they should have been last split. But I think, but it's weird. I think this team has a really good chance by the end of the year to be at Worlds. You just have to be top three. You can do it. This team's good enough. And I actually also do get the vibe, even though people are going to overreact because of week one, just give this team time. It's going to be in the best of threes, and then the best of three, they'll get better and better as the series goes on. That's my prediction. They'll get together. It's just all good. Right, let's move on. What about, let's just talk about now, Mad Lions. So obviously, hasn't been a great first week. And I'll tell you what, Kira, here's the thing that I would actually be alarmed about if I'm a Mad Lions fan, is, bro, we had like that game. Oh, fuck, who am I thinking of? Who was the team they played? Am I actually thinking of the... Maybe it's a Giant X game. Bro, they were like, they should have basically just won that game from what I remember.
Yeah, Prescovi's like four goals up on the
It was
ball.
All looking great. Remember, everyone's telling me with this team, it's supposed to be coordination, team play, understanding what the coach wants. Like, that was a really alarming game to lose for the team I saw play last split, mate. That was worrying.
Yeah, it's because a lawyer fucks up. That's the problem. It's like when a lawyer starts fucking up, the team just becomes shambolic. Like, and that is like, when a lawyer's having bad games, I don't know if this is because, and this is just conjecture, he's an emotional player.
Sure.
Like, he finds it harder to call when he isn't like front running the game. These are all things that are really famous, like stuff in like League of Legends, like captaincies. When he started like losing the game with the Volibear, like, put it this way, the LeBlanc from that position should have probably been able to like front run the game. And you begin to see some of the weaknesses of Frescovi, where he was given a pretty good platform to win the game from.
Yep.
And he failed. It's why, like, me and you last talked, I'm a little bit probably higher on Super than you were.
Oh, for sure.
Then you've seen the games where, like, Super's... it's not that he's, like, an amazing, brilliant, like, ADC and all that. It's that he is actually specialised in one way, where he has that Karze property, where when he is given a platform to, like, carry from, he actually tends to do, like, plays pretty well from it. He's, like, a pretty good front runner, which is a good thing to have in the LEC right now. So, like, when he had the Varus game, where he was getting, like, all the kills against SK, SK Gaming should have won that game, but the misplay side lanes... Mad Lions finds really these really, really clean team fights. They manage to protect Super, and he plays on-hit Varus, takes a risk, and he, like, guns down all of SK Gaming in these big, massive, like, team fights. And it was an impressive performance. It, one of the best ADC performances, and it wasn't on, like, Smolder, so it was honest. So, you know, like, respect to that. But to me, Mad Lions... it'll be a long thing to see improvement in terms of Mad Lions, where, like, I think they'll still be bad at, like, the same things they were bad at before, where they're a team that's extremely reliant on, like, team coordination, like, niche picks, and, like, understanding that, like, Merwing is going to create some sort of, like, chaos or somewhat a larger depth of play Adam effect.
He's got the Whippo angle, hasn't he? Where, like, you just there's always going to be chaos where this guy plays. Come on, always.
And then you're going to allow you to have these isolated top lane matchups, which is why he actually, like, it's bad for him to play DBB, because BB gets counter pick held for him and he uses his champ pool onto Merwin. And then you go, like, bottom and you get Frescovi onto these, like, flanking mages who can use, like, terrain scaling and move speed to find angles to get onto backline and stuff. And that's been, like, a real... something you can tangibly see that Frescovi's been getting better at, as he gets himself into these pockets where he, like, is able to attack, like, key carry threats. And sometimes he mispositions, sometimes he gets it wrong, sometimes he gets caught, but when even though I don't think he's that particularly, like, skilled, he's not, like, some amazing laner. It's good to see, like, a rookie actually, like, trying to put his best foot forward and actually find, like, winning angles to, like, situate his team into, because it's much better having that than, particularly on a team like Mad Lions, than someone who's going to just, like, free coast and just basically allow himself to, like, be carried, because that's not a good thing to have with your mid laner at times. The LeBlanc game, as you were talking about, he didn't beat those allegations, though. That was not a good game from Frescovi, but these things happen. The same way as I'm sympathetic to Jackie's and his rookie mistakes, I'm quite sympathetic to Frescovi. Like, we've seen last split when Perks picked the Rides, he annihilated him on the LeBlanc, so maybe it was just, like, a bad day in the office. Still, you know, it's crazy to say this, because it's a really weird way to describe them. There is a certain degree of one-dimensionality to Mad Lions, where when they play around bot lane, they are very elite and they are very, very good. But when they don't do that, and you've seen it within, they try to play that, like, Nocturne Fiddle comp, some of it, and they, like, move on to plan B and C, sometimes you can see the discoordination begin to, like, fall pieces. People like Alvaro really do need, like, a platform to, like, play from, but when they have it, they're, like, pretty good. So... the thing is, I love the fact that Mad Lions are a good team. Because I had them 10th last split. But I didn't know anything about them, so they automatically went there, because I basically just put up my hands and said, I don't watch these players, I don't give a fucking shit about Tier 2, so I have no idea to like hit scope. All I know is if Zaloya needs to play well. But I'm glad that a team that plays through like team principles is good, because it's like, I like watching them play, I like watching them draft, they're really fun. So more power to them, I hope they shore up their vision weaknesses and things like that. But yeah, they're really good.
Here's the thing, if you use the terminology team in that sense, they are a good team. It's just my problem is I don't give a flying fuck about mid and AD. And on AD, I'll just say it like this. That's exactly why I don't give a fuck about the AD. Because it's like there's a million if conditions that have to happen before he set up. But he has them all. Like, he has the fucking top laner that, as you say, is like the mad pressure magnet. He has Alvaro. By the way, the joke is him and Labrov actually were better than Mickey X last split, guys. They were really insanely good. Like, he's a mega fucking player. He has the jungler that the whole team plays around. Like, mate, you couldn't, and his coach is still his coach from the last year. Like, you couldn't ask for a million more boxes to be checked if you're super. At the end of all that, you then better be like prime fucking upset or reckless or forget. Of course not. But this guy even lost on Smolder. This guy actually made that champion look balanced. Enough said. Case closed. Right, the last team to talk about, I've actually saved till last, because it's actually, I want to praise them and end on a high. It's actually SK Gaming. Bruh, I said this the whole of last split. SK Game is actually one of the teams that sort of broke my heart, mate. Like, I really thought there was a world where they should have been in that mix to be one of the teams that could have been in the finals. It should have been between them, BDS, and Fnatic. That's right, I didn't stutter. Them, BDS, and Fnatic. Not fucking Mad Lions. But, for whatever reason, they have this thing where, you saw it even in this week, it's the reason they didn't 3-0, mate. They will always betray you in a one game. Have you seen that? Like, the sad thing about SK is this, they have two types of games for me. They have the really clean one, they had one of those this week that look fucking great, that's what pumps you up like fuck, how are they this good with this lineup? But then they always have that game where like they could have won it, but then they throw it. Like, I this team really could be better than it is. Like, the thing is, when they do the good games, I really actually like watching them play. I actually find them like a very enjoyable team to watch play too. Like, the things they're doing make sense how they're winning. They're not just winning off chaos. So the problem I have, like I say though, is they torch me, because I feel like realistically they probably are going to be the fourth or fifth best team. But I feel like when they're in their zone, they could be like the second or third best team. They're that close.
So here's the one of the issues they have. This is a dichotomy, one of the very funny things about Nesky. Nesky is amazing at playing two side lanes, but he is terrible at side laning. That he is sure. Absolutely, he is great at like going to side lanes and killing people, and then he himself, then a bad actor, goes, I am going to make the same mistakes they make and get myself killed. Like, you can go see it in the game against Mad Lions, where he gets like caught out inside by the Vi combo like a million times. You can see it in the games against Fnatic, where Oscar Innan got behind him on Renekton as Nico and killed him when Irrelevant had done all the hard work. There's just something, it's just a flaw in Nesky's game, which is fine. Like, Nesky's really, really good in other areas, and that's what you get when you get a player like Nesky. He's ultra specialized, and that's a lot of things I like about his game. It looks like he makes Izma a much, much better jungler than he has any right to be. Also helps that, like, majority of the time, Irrelevant will just cave any top laner's heads in and, like, will create a dive scenario for Izma to play. The star of this team really is just Irrelevant. He has just entered, like, SK Gaming is best when Irrelevant is, like, playing it, and he's, like, one of the best, like, in isolated 1v1 matchups in, like, top lane, which a lot of them are right now. He is very, very, very skilled, and he is very, very proficient. He's, I think, just abstractly, put this out, by the end, outside of the fact that the BB just ended up playing more and having a big finals, I actually think he was probably the best top laner, if you put a gun to my head. The only problem I've kind of got with it right now is Exekick just cannot stop being like a fuck-up artist. And it's so frustrating, because it's like a part of his game that's like developed like recently. I talked about this with Rich and Nymera. It's a concept I call, like, it's called team shape. It's not so much positioning, it's your positioning in the context of where the enemies are and your positioning in relation to everyone else and who can, like, help you, like, move. SK Gaming have, like, the worst team shape, like, ever, where people are really, really disconnected, their team fights are really, really messy, and Exekick and DOS, like, have, like, a bit of a disconnect in terms of, like, Exekick will position himself super aggressively into pockets where, like, DOS can't actually, like, peel for him, and he gets himself killed. And as like, that is the cardinal sin of, like, ADC. Like, dying for nothing on ADC, and, like, if you want a way to lose games of League of Legends quickly, it's having your ADC die for nothing. And right now, a lot of SK Gaming games, that is how they kind of go. When they win, they're a great front-running team. They actually have some great macro. Like, some of their macro in EU is really, really impressive. I do really enjoy watching it. I'm kind of the same as you. I want them to be a better team. I want them to shore up their weaknesses, but their floor can be, like, quite low. And it probably should be if you look at the consideration of the players.
Course.
Outside of Irrelevant, their bot lane isn't some amazing, like, laning bot lane. And, like, Nisqy's laning has never been, like, always a strong point, though it has gotten, like, better over the period. So, I don't know. The thing for me is to truly evaluate... The one player I would say is to truly evaluate Yzma... Or, like, any jungler that fucking Nisqy plays with at this point, you have to see them without Nisqy.
Oh, of course, you've got to be test, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, right now, like, Yzma just looks like one of the prodigal son, but I don't know. It's so hard to evaluate him, but I can see as he's doing good things now. He doesn't... And
well, much like SK Gaming, we thought we were the best, things were going so well, and out of nowhere, we just throw...